Great. Are we ready to start? Where does one start? So we have, I think, a lot of celebration to begin and the result of an awful lot of hard work. And at the beginning and at the end of every section of that long work has been our outstanding Secretary of the Interior, Sally Jewell. And I think that she has worked as hard as anyone I could ever imagine working to make sure that there's been balance in every deliberation and every compromise. How do we look at these incredibly important tracts of land and make sure that our approaches to them are balanced? And we have spent, you know, in the last year and a half, as part of Colorado the Beautiful, doing a statewide assessment of what lands are most precious to what to the values of Colorado, what lands have the greatest potential commercial value in terms of creating jobs and an economy relative to the different potential uses of those lands. And I think Secretary Jewell and Neil Kornsey is here from the BLM. He's the head of the BLM as well. Together they have really listened hard to local governments, to the business community, to engaged citizens, to other parts of the federal government, and it just makes me proud and excited to see that when you're willing to put in the time and work that hard, you can make good decisions, defensible decisions, and decisions that will have a long-term, immensely positive impact on the state of Colorado. I know that I speak when I talk about how hard Secretary Jewell has worked and the time that she's put into this. I know that I speak for all the Western governors, and I mean Republican governors, Democratic governors, that she has, I don't think she's missed a single summer meeting, to my knowledge, right? Hasn't missed one, hasn't missed a winter meeting when we're in Washington with all the governors. And I think that is a testament to her commitment to not just to the job, but to these landscapes, to really what defines this country, right? I mean, it's not just Colorado. America's one of the few places in the world that has from the beginning really cherished these almost sacred places. I shouldn't say almost, they are sacred places. And I think that ability to come into a battleground area like what was the Thompson Divide 6 years ago, and really take a hard look at it and recognize that really the oil and gas potential was pretty darn limited, and yet, I mean, there was no existing production, there were little, if any, roads, and this 220,000 acre tract of land is home to some of the best fishing holes, some of the best opportunities to kind of find yourself while you're trying to catch some poor innocent trout. Then setting them free, but in that endless conflict and combat, Thompson Divide is one of the most beautiful places to fish in the entire state of Colorado. And as we did Colorado the Beautiful, one thing we recognize is as our population grows, we're not gonna get a second chance to set aside these most important places. And I think Thompson Divide rode right to the top as a place that we wanted to make sure that it is protected. And most of you know I try to be as balanced as I can be in terms of looking at the rural economies and looking at the potential for oil and gas, that that's a balanced part and a crucial part of our energy mix in the state of Colorado. But in a place like Thompson Divide where there really wasn't much oil and gas potential, it certainly wasn't high, and yet there was such incredible opportunity long term within the beauty of that landscape, very important. Also, decisions that we're celebrating today, the Rhone Plateau, making sure that we're able to protect important habitat on top of the Rhone Plateau and yet get to a large percentage of the oil and gas reserves around the perimeter, being able to acknowledge the investment that companies have made in the area, and really lets people get back to business. You know, there'll be fewer wildlife impacts in the way it's been agreed to. Again, a perfect compromise, and a compromise that wouldn't be possible without all that effort between the local community, the local businesses, the Department of Natural Resources at the state, and then all the effort on our federal partners at the BLM and in the Interior. And a big part of that has been Secretary Jewell. She has consistently, multiple times, come out to look at the landscapes where these decisions are being made, has engaged the community and met with them, and it shows, and that we end up with these very good decisions. So without further ado, I'm going to introduce someone, and again, I think I speak for all the Western governors, someone who has really invested themselves at the highest level and worked as hard as a person can to make sure we make good, balanced decisions on our Western landscapes. Secretary Sally Jewell.
Thank you. Thank you, Governor Hickenlooper. It is great to be back in the great state of Colorado. Thank you for the snowflakes. It just feels right this time of year, and it always brings my blood pressure down. And thank you also for hosting us at the State House as we announce two decisions today about more thoughtful development of our landscapes than what might have been charted just a few years ago. So I am returning to Colorado with good news. 2 years ago, almost to the day, I was here with Governor Hickenlooper and Senator Bennett when we announced the landmark decision on the Rhone Plateau. And as the governor mentioned, beautiful, pristine landscape, has oil and gas under it. Things have changed since both Governor Hickenlooper and I were in the oil and gas industry many years ago, and that is the ability to be more thoughtful about how we develop resources in a way that doesn't have the same surface impact. And that is what has been done and will be codified today in the signing of the Record of Decision on the Rhone Plateau. And I want to just acknowledge my predecessor, Ken Salazar, a son of Colorado, before Colorado was even a state, who began this conversation when he was in this chair in conjunction with Governor Hickenlooper and other leaders of the state to say, let's revisit some decisions of the past. We don't think they were as enlightened then as they are today, knowing what we know now. So today, the Rhone Plateau Record of Decision will be signed, and those leases will be relinquished and the area protected for the benefit of future generations. But importantly today, I'm announcing another critical decision for Colorado, and this relates to the beautiful picture on my right, and that is the Thompson Divide area in the White River National Forest. The Forest Service recognized that the highest and best use of this region was not oil and gas development. The Bureau of Land Management, led by Ruth Welsh, standing up here with Neil Kornsey and the governor and me, as Colorado State Director, did the hard work with her team to cancel 25 undeveloped leases in that area. Those are mostly in Pitkin, Garfield, and Gunnison counties, and these are areas that look like this. When I was in Aspen to do a speech and also went to Moffat County to talk about the Kalawao mine, I listened to voices from different points of view, but all mentioned the importance of this area and the natural beauty of this area. So we are here today to cancel 25 of those leases, to also apply new stipulations to remaining leases that are not currently producing but that are held, and also to make minor adjustments or no adjustments to leases that are producing, and most of those are in Mesa County. So this is a very Colorado-based solution, a state that appreciates the value of your beautiful, pristine, natural areas. I was a citizen of Colorado myself, late 70s, early 80s, time when your air quality was not as good as it is today. I was working in the oil industry, And whenever my boss came to town, my boss was in Denver, I was in Oklahoma, I wore the t-shirt that one of your local department stores sold that said, I'd rather be in Denver. So why was that? It's because of places like this. It's because I yearned to be back in the great outdoors, and I valued that about Colorado. And I know that everybody values that here as well, no matter whether you're an oil company, a person that enjoys active outdoor recreation, or just a citizen of this great state. So when we have the right kind of balance, everybody gives a little and everybody gets a little. And that's what Governor Hickenlooper understands are the values here in Colorado. Those are values that we share together. So looking forward, this has given us some lessons from the past and lessons on how we need to do thoughtful land management in the future. It's about going, moving from a project-by-project approval basis to planning on a landscape scale. It's about looking at places like the Rhone Plateau and like the Thompson Divide, saying, these are areas that are too special to develop, or at least have ecological habitat and other values that need to be preserved where we do support development. And that's exactly what has been done here. With the support of people like Ruth Welsh and the great men and women who work for the Bureau of Land Management and the other federal land management agencies, what we have embarked on in a very deep way is smart planning from the beginning, leveraging science and the new technologies that industry has, working alongside industry, bringing certainty to the fact that when you have a lease, you're going to be able to develop that lease by doing it in the right ways and in the right places and abiding by all of the laws like NEPA, National Historic Preservation Act, the laws of the state of Colorado, and so on. We've taken broad input from stakeholders, and that is the wave of the future. So I want to acknowledge the hard work that's been done by the BLM, by the U.S. Forest Service, by the state of Colorado, and look forward to this being the wave of the future, no matter who's in my position, no matter who's in the White House, because it just makes sense for the American people. So this is a state that understands the ability to have balance between the extraction of our resources and the preservation of those resources. This is a state that takes the long view. This is a state that recognizes the values that you bring to future generations and the importance of those values still being there generations to come. So with that, I want to turn the microphone over to my colleague in these efforts who's been a real supporter of facilitating this change from projects to a landscape level understanding and long-range planning, and that is the director of the Bureau of Land Management, Neil Cornsey. Neil?
Thank you for the chance to be here with you today. I get excited when I come to Colorado because the state runs in my blood. My family was here for generations. They had one of the first delivery trucks in this town, and they used it to sell coal in the winter and ice blocks in the summer. And my family worked at the U.S. Mint and at the Denver Post. And they went to school at the Colorado School of Mines, and they worked up at Climax. But they also loved the outdoors, particularly my grandparents, who were buried not far from here. Twice a week, without fail, rain or shine, they would be up on Mount Evans, on the shores of Echo Lake, throwing their big lines, looking for that big rainbow trout that they didn't get the last time. And it's through that lens and that early impression of the bounty of Colorado that I also came to understand the importance of balance. And it's that balance that I believe you'll see in the decisions that we're announcing today. On the Rhone Plateau, something very important happened. Something that doesn't happen often enough, which is people put down their swords. Industry, community leaders, the environmental community, wildlife advocates, they came together, they sat down, and they said, neighbor to neighbor, how do we figure this out? And I'll tell you, we don't see that enough. In fact, I still remember my personal shock when that coalition walked into my office many years ago and told me about the plan they had, the plan that we are honoring today. And that plan makes sure that the top of the Rhone Plateau, one of the wildest places in Colorado, will remain that way. And it makes sure that the communities in Western Colorado that depend on oil and gas will continue to have that opportunity in places where it makes sense. And similarly on the Thompson Divide, a place that is surely one of the most beautiful in the West. We're putting forward a decision today that makes sure that oil and gas can continue in the right places, but also that on the top of the Thompson Divide, that space will no longer have the threat of development. Because the quality of life has to be supported in Colorado and is so important to the people of the state, but we also have to be supporting the jobs and the economies that those communities rely on. And so we're moving forward on both planes today. And this kind of balance and these kind of decisions are not easy work. Managing public lands is not easy work. Public service is not easy work, but it's really important. And you don't get to decisions like these without great collaboration and without the involvement of communities and governors and towns and counties and people with real passion. And so, you know, we are extraordinarily proud to be here for this moment, to be here with your great governor, to be here with amazing Secretary Jewell, with our excellent, excellent State Director Ruth Welsh, who runs the BLM here in the state. But I want to end by tipping my hat to the people whose public service make this possible. To have public lands, you have to have public service. And if the people from the BLM Colorado team could raise your hand, and if you would join me in giving them a round of applause.
Thank you, Neil, and thanks all of you for acknowledging my colleagues in the BLM too, led by Neil and Ruth. It's my pleasure now to open this up to questions from members of credentialed media. I know there may be other people here that have questions, but this is going to be for media at this point in time. And if you could state the name and your organization, I'd appreciate that. Please.
Thanks, Dan.
Great, thank you. Well, the agreement that we are announcing today on both the Rhone Plateau and the Thompson Divide will stick. They're records of decision. They have been made after years of consultation with industry. The leases are canceled. So a change of administration should make no difference in that. Of course, Congress can enact legislation to do pretty much whatever they want, but in this case, with the efforts that have been put forward and the partnership that's in place, I just don't see that as a risk, no matter what this transition might look like. Second, we have not yet had contact with the Trump transition team. We are geared up and ready when they're ready to talk to us, and we are very committed to providing as much information as we can to get them off to a good start. Yeah, please, go ahead.
You know, what we said in generality should be a little more specific. So Senator Gardner and Senator Bennett both involved, both signed off, both committed to these balance. The oil and gas industry at the table throughout this entire process, I think this is, again, you're not going to ever make everyone happy, but broadly supported. Both of these agreements are broadly supported by both the industry and the environmental community. Again, you're never going to get everyone happy, but it is very rare to get as broad a consensus as we got on this from both Republicans in Congress, both Republicans and Democrats in Congress, Republicans and Democrats in the U.S. Senate, and the stakeholders and natural constituencies. So obviously it's hard to predict what Congress might want to do, and they do have a great deal of freedom in deciding their course. But I think this is exactly what the president-elect has championed as he's gone throughout his campaign, is letting local communities try to hear all sides and have a balanced decision.
Thank you. Next question, please. There are a number of things that we've been working on for years, and we do want to make sure that we clean up as many of these loose ends as may be out there where the appropriate process has been gone through and completed, and that's absolutely the case with the Rhone Plateau and the Thompson Divide. You know, there is a lot of time and energy invested in these decisions. There are other decisions that have been in flight for many years. To the extent we can bring those home in this administration, absolutely, we're committed to doing that. So the new administration, as they ramp up and staff up and get up to speed working with our wonderful career staff like Ruth Welsh and the people here in Colorado with the BLM, they won't have to get up to speed and make a decision on something that they haven't been a part of. So, yes, we're going to continue to get all of those things that we can across the finish line so that the new administration can start fresh. Yes, sir. Hey, Bruce.
Secretary Yule, there's other master planning in progress. What might we expect for Colorado and the Rocky Mountain region in the coming months? What more?
You know, I'm going to turn that over actually to Neil or Ruth on you. What you might be cooking here at the BLM. Do you want to talk, Ruth? Yeah.
Good question. Thank you, Bruce. So, yes, we are underway with our Eastern Colorado planning effort, which will take several years. We don't expect to have a rod for that plan until the early 2021, probably. We are doing a master leasing plan down in our Tres Rios field office. Those efforts will continue.
Okay. Any other questions? Okay. Oh, one more back there. Yes, sir.
So I think what you saw in both of these situations is we had a process failure identified by the courts, and so we had to go back and take a hard look, and it involved a public process in both situations. And in the Thompson Divide in particular, the Forest Service had updated the White River National Forest plan in the meantime, and we largely followed their guidance and the guidance that we received from the many communities we engaged, but with the idea that part of that area was no longer suitable for leasing, but others were fine. So I think it's consistent with the developing landscape.
Can you speak to the impact that either the local counties or the Thompson Divide Coalition had in this process? How important is the local?
You know, I've been with the Bureau of Land Management for 6 years now, and if there's one deep impression I have, it's that the BLM and the great people I get to work with every day take public input very seriously. It is those public processes are very sincere. And something that separates us and I think sometimes puts us in a stronger position than some other federal agencies is that we are embedded in those communities. Right? We have about 150 different locations around the country that we work, largely around the West. And the folks that I get to work with are soccer coaches and emergency EMTs and neighbors. And so they're understanding and interacting on these issues in a way that is pretty profound. And a note back to Bruce, one of the other issues that will continue here in the Rocky Mountain region is certainly we have a responsibility to make sure that we're working on sage-grouse and implementing the sage-grouse plans. The Fish and Wildlife Service, even though they decided a year ago or so, Secretary Jewell and a number of us were out at the arsenal here to make that announcement. They also said that 5 years from that date, they would be making a new assessment and taking a hard look at the sage grouse and whether or not that bird was still headed in the right direction as a result of the work that states and agencies and private landowners were doing. So there's a process by which when a lease is canceled, the money that has been paid for those leases and for the rent is returned. So part of that, we can get you the exact dollar figures. Part of that comes from the federal government, part of that comes from the state because we share the revenues that come from those.
Okay, one last question. There is one. Yeah, Bruce, go ahead.
The Trump transition team has been pretty clear that they favor more of a green light towards extraction on public land around the West. How, if at all, are you and your teams responding in the coming months to the prospect of maybe a significantly altered approach to Western public lands?
Well, as I mentioned earlier, we have not had any contact with the transition team, so I can't prejudge what kind of approach they may take or the people that they put in place may take. But I will say, as I did earlier, that what we've gone from is a project-by-project approval process. It didn't step back and look at the big picture. And I think, as exemplified in these examples, that's what the American people expect us to do. We have put in motion, through resource management plans, through environmental impact statements, through long-range planning, and the sage-grouse effort is a good example of that, a way of pulling up and looking at our landscapes holistically and pragmatically saying, what are the areas that make sense to develop and what are the areas that are too special to develop? When you provide that kind of clarity and certainty to industry, it enables them to do their work in a way that doesn't result in protracted disputes or lawsuits about whether they can or should develop. And that just makes good business sense. So I'm confident as a business person who's now taken on this role in public service that what we have done in terms of planning, using science, using community input, pulling up and looking at landscapes is in fact going to pass the test of time because it makes good business sense. It makes sense for the communities. And it has taken broad public input, making sure that all those points of view are covered.
I can add a few
okay.
points to that. You know, I think one thing to note as well is that, you know, I don't think the narrative would be accurate that there isn't a robust amount of energy activity on the public lands. Right. So just in the oil and gas sector alone, there's 100,000 oil and gas wells on the nation's public lands. That has grown by leaps and bounds over the last 5 to 10 years. There's also been an amazing amount of opportunity provided to industry. The Bureau of Land Management puts millions of acres forward every year available to industry at their request. Somewhere around 20% of those in recent years have been bid on, right? So we've been overshooting the market by about fourfold. And there's also, folks, industry comes in, gives us applications for drilling permits. We work on them, process them. At this point, there's more than 2 years worth of headroom of permits available to industry that they can go out and use tomorrow with no further approval from the Bureau of Land Management. Thousands of permits have been approved and are sitting there waiting to be used. So I think the perspective of the balance that Secretary Jewell has provided is very, very important. There's also a lot of opportunity that has been provided in recent years.
So again, I want to congratulate the people of Colorado on these decisions that are reflective of their input, their thoughtful input to us. Governor, you've been a great supporter of appropriate balance, development in the right ways in the right places, conservation in the right ways in the right places. I'm going to miss working as closely with you as I have. But there are so many wonderful examples of the wave of the future that is set here in Colorado. And I want to congratulate everyone that worked on these two projects, from industry, from the communities, from the stakeholder groups, for this win for all of you and for future generations. Thank you so much for coming.